Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Shannon J. Kirshner. The sermon is based on scripture from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17, and Psalm 23. Central Sunday morning service for the 11th of May, 2025, the fourth Sunday of Easter, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Sermons under Worship.
On this fourth Sunday of Eastertide, we continue celebrating the promise of resurrection, and this is always known as Good Shepherd Sunday. So our text for this morning is one that is familiar to many of us. You've already heard some of it. It is Psalm 23. So I invite you to listen for God's living word. I'm going to read the King James Version, something I rarely do, but something that is often requested with this text. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. As I mentioned, this psalm is probably quite familiar for many of us who are gathered here in this time of worship, both in the sanctuary and in our virtual pews. As a matter of fact, its poetic stanzas impart a profound emotional power for so many people, even those who do not claim a religious affiliation. That my former professor Walter Brueggemann once wrote, it's almost presumptuous to even try and comment on it, but I'm going to take that risk with you today. For this psalm might have something to say to us in the space that we occupy in our day and in our time. Before I became the pastor at Fourth in Chicago, the context in which I typically read this beloved psalm was always in a memorial service. At Fourth Presbyterian Church, however, not only do they typically read this psalm as a part of the funeral liturgy, but they also always pray it together as a congregation every time they celebrate the sacrament of communion, King James Version. I grew to be thankful for that tradition. Because truthfully, if the only time we really consider this psalm is within the liturgy of death, or even, dare I say, only in the midst of crisis, then we're missing its power to shape us in our daily lives. For Psalm 23 is not simply a comforting psalm. It's not simply a psalm of trust. It's not simply a conversation partner with Psalm 22, the one that starts with, my God, why have you forsaken me? No, Psalm 23 is a subversive psalm. It's actually a psalm of rebellion. And if there's ever a time in which we might need a little bit of appropriate rebellion, it is now. Side note, only a Presbyterian minister would probably ever use the phrase appropriate rebellion. But I can't help it. Not only do I have to plan to be spontaneous, I can only typically be appropriately rebellious. But back to the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, some of you might be thinking, how on earth is claiming that the Lord is my shepherd is subversive in any way whatsoever? I understand that question. When many of us think about shepherd, we think about idyllic pastoral scenes, or we think about the fact it's never been a glamorous job. More than likely, however, we do not say shepherd and think rebellious. And yet, in Scripture, the title shepherd is not simply a job description. The title shepherd is political. In the ancient world, kings were known as the shepherds of their people. A king was supposed to provide for and protect the people under his reign, like a shepherd was charged to do for his flock. But we know from prophets like Ezekiel that kings often failed to do what they were called to do. In Ezekiel chapter 34, the prophet denounced the actions of the kings he encountered, saying, "Oh, you shepherds of Israel, who've been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You have not strengthened the weak. You've not healed the sick. You've not bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strayed. You've not sought out the lost, but with force and harshness you have ruled them." In the ancient world, the world in which this psalm formed, the title shepherd was political. That fact makes the psalm subversive right off the bat. For when the psalmist states unequivocally, "The Lord is my shepherd," she is stating just as strongly, "And the rest of you are not." In this simple opening line, the psalmist is metaphorically drawing the line in the sand. By claiming the Holy One is shepherd, the psalmist is claiming that the Lord is king, sovereign, the one who directs, to whom she is answerable, whom alone she worships and serves. Are you getting a taste of any of the rebellion yet? When we pray, "The Lord is my shepherd," we are saying there is no rival loyalty, no competing claim for our allegiance. When we pray, "The Lord is my shepherd," we are saying our ultimate allegiance is to our Creator, not to our country, or to our political party, or to our military, or to capitalism, or to fear, or to our faith tradition, or even to our family. When we claim the Lord is my shepherd, we are claiming our ultimate allegiance belongs first and foremost to the Holy One, to our God. "The Lord is my shepherd" is a subversive political claim. Frankly, that claim feels even more charged today. And yet that claim is subversive on all days, not just in times of upheaval. Because on all days, there are many, many voices out in the marketplace, out in the land of social media, out in the halls of national power, out in the world of celebrity worship, who clamor for our ultimate allegiance. Yet in all those moments, including the one in which we live, we can breathe in the voice of Psalm 23 and let it fill us with courage. "The Lord is my shepherd, no one and nothing else." The psalmist's rebellion, however, doesn't stop with that opening line. It continues, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The closer translation to the Hebrew is, "I shall lack nothing." Now, I don't know how much television or TikToks you watch, or how many magazines you read, or how often you stroll into a store or browse online, but I know from my overexposure to all of those things, there always seems to be something that I'm lacking. There's always something else that I think I need, that my young adult children need, that we assume we must have in order to be satisfied and full. Thomas Merton put it this way, "Even though there's a certain freedom in our society, it's largely illusory. It's the freedom to choose your product, but not the freedom to do without it." I know. Psalm 23 acts as counter-testimony to that message we get every day. "I shall not want." With those four words, the psalmist makes two powerful claims. First, when she pronounces, "I shall not want," the psalmist is shouting out that God's generosity will provide all she needs to live abundantly. The second claim, however, the psalmist is making is that she will also choose not to want. The psalmist will choose not to get caught up and defined by the idols of accumulation and consumerism. The psalmist then goes on to show us images of how the Lord, our shepherd, provides for our life. "The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures. The Lord leads me beside still waters. The Lord restores my soul. The Lord leads me in right paths for God's name's sake." While many of us might have heard these verses as being about peace and tranquility, and yes, it sounds that way, and it is that way, there's also so much more. First, as scholar Kenneth Bailey has written, "In the Holy Land, pastures are green each year for a maximum of 2.5 months in the middle of winter. The rest of the year, the fields are brown. Furthermore, sheep are afraid to drink from a moving stream, lest it hide deep water into which they could fall and drown. So still waters and green pastures for the sheep are the best of all worlds. Second, when we hear that the Lord restores our soul, it's important to know that the Hebrew word for soul is nephesh, which also means that which breathes. So literally speaking, the Lord restores my soul means the Lord gives us our breath back. The Lord gives us our breath back. That affirmation is astonishingly beautiful. For so many of us feel right now like we've had the wind knocked out of us. With all the quick changes in just the past few months, it's hard to catch up. And yet, the psalmist promises us that every single day, every single moment, the Lord will give us our breath back. Taken together, these verses are the psalmist's way of illustrating that the Lord, our shepherd, will keep us alive. The Lord, our shepherd, will give us all we need. We, the sheep, will lack nothing that we need for life, not want what we need. Furthermore, notice that all the action is on the part of the shepherd. We, the sheep, we don't really do anything. We simply receive and enjoy. No hunger, no thirst, no fear, no anxiety, no danger. All is well because there is only one shepherd who can be trusted. And if for some reason we do wander off, the shepherd's going to find us and carry us back to the right path. But the shepherd does this not because of who we are. The shepherd does it because of who the shepherd is, for his own name's sake, for the sake of God's own integrity. Again, we hear echoes of the prophet Ezekiel and others. But now we reach the theological center of the psalm, the part to which I find myself clinging with my fingernails, the part I tend to repeat again and again. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I found it useful to discover that in the original Hebrew, there are exactly 26 words before the statement, you are with me, and 26 words immediately following it. Clearly, the claim at the center of the psalm is this promise that no matter what, the shepherd, the only one in whom we trust, will never abandon us, not even in the most dangerous of places. This central claim of God's constant and abiding presence is to be the promise in which we ground our lives. But that's not all there is to it. For not only does a shepherd lead us through dangerous places, when God is present in the shadow of death, in the dark valley, things change. The valley is transformed. Listen for it. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The promise is that in the midst of the darkest of valleys, a spiritual space in which some in here might be occupying today, in the very midst of that fearful space, the shepherd becomes gracious host, transforming a barrenness of fear and anxiety into a feast of celebration and joy. And the good shepherd turned gracious host invites us to that feast as honored guests. You prepare a table before me, the psalmist sings. But guess what? As we alluded in our confession, the feast that has been prepared is not necessarily just for us and our friends and family. What if the good shepherd turned gracious host doesn't just invite us to the feast, but all those we've previously called enemy? What if in the presence of my enemies does not mean the enemy is excluded and we somehow feast in defiance of them as they watch? Rather, what if in the presence of my enemies means they are invited too? What if the good shepherd turned gracious host, the one who holds nothing back from the sheep, also holds no one back from the feast, not even those we name as enemy? Can you imagine it? Take a moment. Picture those whom you name as enemy today. What happens if they too are at the table? I certainly would not put it past our God, our shepherd, our host, to do something so full of grace and mercy, so out of the ordinary, so countercultural, and so very subversive. For even if we cannot comprehend such a thing, as my preacher father always preached, God's arms are long enough to encircle the whole world. Then the psalm ends with two affirmations. The first, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Again, the Hebrew is more illustrative. Pursue is a better translation than follow. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. Again, breathe that in for a moment. Surely God's goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. Friends, the psalmist's claim is that we are being chased by the shepherd's love our whole lives long, even right now. It might make us wonder if there will ever come a day when we stopped running from it. What do you think? And the second affirmation, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This claim promises that because of who our shepherd is, who our gracious host is, we, the sheep, the guests, are part of God's household, God's family, God's community from now until forever, and nothing we do can change that. Period. It's a promise we can hold on to. This beloved Psalm 23 is not only important to pray in the liturgy of death, but this Psalm 23 also has the power to reshape our lives, to bind us closer together. It has the power to help us live into the kind of world God is dreaming into being, even here and even now, even in the midst of all this physical and emotional chaos in which many of us are living. A world in which only God gets to tell us who we are. A world in which there is always more than enough for all who need it. A world in which dangerous places are transformed into party rooms. A world in which everyone is seen and loved and belongs just for who they are. Blessings. So yes, we come to the service on this day needing to push pause for a moment before we go back out and we continue to forge ahead at doing our part for justice and for God's transformation of the world. And many of us come into this service inevitably holding some pieces of lament and the pain of our world. But my hope for you and for me on this Mother's Day is that as we stand in the light of this psalm, we can also be deeply grateful for each other, for this faith community called Central Presbyterian Church, and most of all for our shepherd, our host, who will not rest until God's holiness and goodness and mercy have finally caught all of us and embraced all of us, and all of creation is finally made well, and all tears have been wiped away, now and forever. The Lord is my shepherd. May it be so. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA, located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.